Delighted to have you here today, worshiping with us on Sunday. We have a special treat for you. About 10 years ago, my wife and I, Renee, and our family, we lived in a place called Brisbane, Australia. And we're reaching out to this university called the University of Queensland, which is a very renowned university there in Brisbane. And we were meeting on the campus and actually having churches, Pastor, a church meeting on the campus. And a young man, an engineering student, was invited along by some of our other Christian girls who were attending school there. And he came along, and I got to meet this young man, and he was from Madrid, Spain. And we struck it off, and I took him out to eat and bought him a coffee, and then he wanted to meet more after that. So, hungry college students, they always could use a free meal here and there. So we struck up a relationship, and this young man from Madrid, Spain, Pedro, radically got converted to Jesus Christ. He comes from a wonderful family of engineers. They're staunchly Catholic, so anything other than Catholicism was taboo, and we had to talk to them about what the Bible meant, and lo and behold, the Holy Spirit really got a hold of this young man, and he went back to Spain, got a job, and God called him into full-time ministry, he and his lovely wife, and they're currently now preparing here in America, raising support and getting ready to get a team and go back and plant another church in Spain, in Madrid, Spain, which is 6 million people there. And he has a heart for reaching Spaniards, native Spanish people, not just expatriates, people from Latin America or from Philippines. As wonderful as it is, there's a real need to reach Spaniards, people of European descent who do not know Jesus. And that's on the heart of Pedro and Natalie. And he's got some exciting things. We were just mesmerized yesterday over lunch. He was talking about his exploits into Ukraine. When Russia came into Ukraine and attacked Ukraine, he was one of the guys that went and took vans over there to help the refugees. He's going to tell us a little bit about that. And so this man is for real, and you are in for a big treat. And I want you to put your hands together and give a great welcome to both Natalie and Pedro Caprilla. Come on up. Please welcome them. I'm going to let Natalie, this is Natalie, his lovely wife. Now, you know God loves a Spaniard when he marries a beautiful Filipino. So he is really, really in God's good stead here. But I want Natalie to preach to us and encourage us a little bit, and then Pedro is going to bring the word.
Wow, thank you. It's such a privilege and an honor to be here. This is my first time in Tallahassee, but I feel like I know you all just because of everything Pedro's told me. He's been here one time before. And this church is a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other churches, to the wider body of the church, just because of the foundation of faith that you have, the passion for the gospel, and stepping into your purpose of what God has set out before you. I'm so grateful to be here. But I just was, as I was praying for this church and thinking about you guys, just the image of water flowing out of the temple from Ezekiel came to mind. And this is what I really feel about your church, that what you're doing here, consecrating your lives to Jesus, bringing his grace and his love to your family members and your classmates, just so many amazing college students here, that's going to pour out to the rest of your city, to the rest of your college campus. And it's so amazing to watch from our side. As soon as we stepped into the Dew household and heard stories, that's what we saw. You guys are doing an incredible work for the kingdom here. I was saved on the college campus, and I can just tell you, from then on, my life just skyrocketed into God's purpose. There's so much joy, so much peace, and you guys are bringing that to Tallahassee, to FSU, right? Yep. FSU. I just got here 2 days ago, so I'm so grateful to be here. Love you guys. I can't wait to meet some of you afterwards. We've talked a little bit with you guys before, but we love this church. We love you guys. Thank you for having us.
Hello, everybody. Is this working?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, yes, my name is Pedro, and I'm so glad to be here. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Ron for having us here. It's a privilege for me to share the word. I'm usually sharing the word in Spanish, so you'll excuse me if I make some mistakes. I read my Bible in Spanish also, so I'm But my English is okay, as you can see. But thank you, Pastor Ron. Ever since I met you 2 years ago, you've believed in us, you've trusted us. If I look any fit at all, it's because of Pastor Ron. I follow him on Twitter. I see that he's just the fittest pastor I know after Pastor Ken. And you really blessed church to have Pastor Ron as your pastor. Even just following from a distance through his Twitter account, I just see that he's one of these special people whose faith encompasses his whole life. And I see that when you are at the gym, you're ministering, and when you're meeting politicians, you're ministering. And I want to commend you. I want to thank you for having us here. So thank you, Pastor Ron. And the next people I want to thank. You've just heard the quick snap story of what happened to me 10 years ago. It was exactly in the fall of 2013. So 10 years ago is when I had the privilege of showing up at the Every Nation Brisbane Church, and Pastor Ken and Renee were there. And my life changed. My whole life was radically changed because I by chance, by God's will, walked up in that church. And I'm just so grateful for the Du family in general. And since you mentioned my wife's heritage in Tagalog, there is this word, I won't even try and pronounce it, but the Filipinos, you'll probably know what word I'm talking about. There's a word that doesn't quite translate into Spanish, and it doesn't quite translate into English either. And the way that it translates, it's a debt of gratitude. And we also don't have that in Spanish, and it's a very particular Tagalog word, Filipino word, and that's exactly what I have towards the Du family. If I had millions of dollars and I could give them to somebody, it would be to them, because my life, my destiny, my seed, my children, my marriage is radically changed, and I now have a purpose and a life and a destiny because of my encounter with Jesus that I had when I started a relationship with Pastor Ken. Just to be completely transparent with you, when I walked into the church, I told Pastor Ken this. I don't think I had ever told him this, but when I walked into the church in Every Nation Brisbane 10 years ago, I did not trust Pastor Ken. And this is going to actually tie in with my sermon today, but the reason why I didn't trust him is because he was the pastor. And as he's mentioned, because of my tradition and my upbringing, I was really suspicious. And actually, one of the men who discipled me while I was in Every Nation Brisbane was a non-pastor. And I was specifically choosing a non-pastor because I knew that he probably didn't have secondary thoughts or other intentions. Yeah, ulterior motives. There we go. So I was actually suspicious of Pastor Ken. But as you can see, and I'm here today, the test of time has shown and has proven to me that the only desire that they had and the only desire, I know that Pastor Ron and all of you who are members of this church, the only desire, and I'm speaking to you if you're here for the first time, or maybe you're not a Christian and you've just been invited, the only desire that these people in this church have is that you would encounter Jesus, that you would know the Creator God who created you and who loves you and who cares for you. So this is a great next step, but since Pastor Ken mentioned the Ukraine thing, I want to start with my message with the following two stories. Number one is, again, 10 years ago, I encountered Jesus, and my life was radically changed. The moment that really changed my life was when I applied one of Pastor Ken's sermon, and I just went on a walk, and I started speaking to God out loud. Now, part of my brain and my mind thought, okay, you've completely lost your mind. You're now speaking to yourself. But the other part of my mind also thought, you know, this is the moment where you're really making a decision to follow Christ. And that night, I'd experienced the presence of God. I experienced the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And that night, I knew that my life would never be the same. I knew that this was not something Pastor Ken had manufactured at church. I knew it was not something that, you know, I was getting sucked up into some kind of a cult, which is what I really was scared that I would getting into, and what my family then for years thought I was getting into. But that night when I experienced the presence of God and the peace of God in my soul, I knew that my life would never be the same. But fast forward a few weeks later, I'm back in Spain. I've been preaching the gospel. I've been sharing with everybody everything that happened to me. And for some reason, people just didn't respond how I wanted them to respond. And I started getting angry, and I started getting sad, and I started like really feeling the pain of rejection. And in my mind or in my soul, I just decided it's just not worth it, and I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to sit down and listen to the pastor, but it's just not worth it. There's just too much pain. But fast forward a few years, last year, the war starts in Ukraine. I'm going to skip the middle because I'm going to keep this for my message. But last year, when the war starts, one of my friends from Poland texts me, and he's like, hey, we need hands. We need help. Please come help us. And I texted a few men of my small group, actually, and I feel like this is God also speaking to us as we go back to Spain to reach every nation. I had a Filipino, I had an American, and I had a Spaniard with me. So four of us went, a friend, also a successful businessman, heard that we were going. He gave us money. We went to Poland. We bought four vans, and we drove him into Ukraine, and we gave those four vans to one of our Every Nation churches there so that they could usher in and out women and children from the war zone, from the east of Ukraine where the Russians were attacking, out of the war zone into the western part of Ukraine, and eventually they would cross the borders into Poland or into Romania or things like that. And so what I want to share with you today is what happened in my life, what happened in my soul, and what I learned from the Word of God that allowed me to get there between that moment 10 years ago where I thought, this is too painful. Trying to share the gospel, trying to share my faith with people, all the rejection, all of the reactions that I'm getting from my family and from my friends is not worth it, to last year when I brought three friends from my small group to Ukraine. We put our lives on the line. We actually had to sit down with our wives and with our friends and decide, are we actually going to drive into a war zone? We found that out last year, when you enter a war zone, when you enter a country that's at war, no insurance works, or your life insurance, all of that is down the drain, doesn't work. So my wife is pregnant, 6 months pregnant, and I have to tell her, if for whatever reason something were to happen to me, my life insurance wouldn't work. Right. So you would be without a husband, and you would be without any money. But we decided that it was safe enough. The western part of Ukraine wasn't being attacked at that time, and there was really no other solution. And we knew that by doing that, we would be saving lives, and not only that, but that lots of hundreds and thousands of Ukrainians would get to experience the hospitality of a Christian church, which was really the heart and desire. So what I want to share with you today is the following question, if I can have the question slide, is how can I be excited about making disciples? I know 100 students are coming here next week. How did they get here? Somebody was making disciples. How did you get here? Somebody was making disciples. But when we are making disciples, if it's a burden that's applied by the pastor or self-imposed burden that you're thinking, I gotta make disciples, but there is no joy, there is no excitement, you're gonna end up like I ended up last 10 years ago, which is, this is not worth it. There's just too much opposition, this too difficult, there's just too much pain and hurt when people reject me. So how can we get this enjoyment back from making disciples? Anybody interested? And there's a very practical reason what I want to share with you today. Because of my background as a Catholic, one of the great things that happened during the Reformation was that it was understood from the Bible, Martin Luther and the Reformers understood from the Bible, that it's not the pastor, it's not the priest, it's not the missionaries that are meant to make disciples. All of us are priests. All of us have direct access to God. So all of us are able to make disciples. In fact, all of us are commanded to make disciples. So today I want to share with you, share with you this verse that you've probably never really read. I know this is a very obscure verse. There it is. So, no, this is a verse, of course, that you know. I saw that you have it on your front door of the front panel on your building. This is a very common verse. Pastor Ron has probably preached many sermons that are probably even are going to be much better than anything that I can share with you today. But what I want to share with you today is something that God spoke to me about, this verse that really changed the way I saw disciple making, and not just disciple making, but the Christian life and the Christian walk. So I don't know if you stand when reading the word? Okay, so if we can... Okay, can we stand for the reading of the word? We're now interning at Grace Covenant Church in D.C., and they stand for the reading of the word. That's why I asked. Sorry. Let me read this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. I thank you, God, for this church here today. And I pray, God, that as we study your word, you would activate us in our faith and that we would come back, come out of this church meeting transformed and empowered to make disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, no, this verse is not very obscure. You all know this verse. But as I was saying, God spoke to me through this verse and allowed me to go from being disillusioned and tired and hurt from making disciples or from trying to make disciples to enjoying making disciples, enjoying leading my small group and willing, even willing to lay down our lives for the sake of making disciples. So let me just... talk to you about this verse. And before I start, I need to talk about the first word, therefore. When we read a verse, you probably know this, but I didn't when I became a Christian, so I just thought this was the verse, and this is the Great Commission, and this is great. But actually, when we read this verse, and it starts, any verse, and it starts with therefore, we gotta find out what comes before. Yeah. And so some of you may know, and probably all of you know, all of you who are members here of the church know this, but what Jesus talked about before this verse is that he has been given all authority. Last week, we were in Siesta Key. We were having a family reunion with Natalie, with Natalie's family, my wife's family, and every day, we were renting an Airbnb, and every day, there was a couple of people that were cooking, and there was about 23 of us, 22 and one pregnant lady. And so we were cooking, and I'm not a cook, I'm not a chef, and so I was assigned the very honorable task of being a sous chef. So whatever my chef said, I would do. So if he told me chop the onion, I would ask how big or how small, and I would chop the onion. If he asked me chop the peppers, I would chop the pepper. I would ask what size, how big, how small, and I would do it. What I mean by that is the chef at that point, he had, I mean, this is an amazing chef. He had the vision of making a volcano with dry ice. I didn't even know what dry ice was or that he could make smoke, but he had the vision of making a volcano out of dry ice and rice. So with my culinary skills, my cooking skills, I could not even envision, understand, or just know what he wanted me to do. But I just obeyed, and I chopped the onions how he wanted me to chop them. I chopped the peppers how he wanted me to chop them. And what happened there is I understood that I had no authority. The chef had the vision, had the understanding, had the plan, and what he needed me to do was to obey what he was telling me to do. And I had no authority, but I had a responsibility to do what he was asking me to do. And what was amazing is me, this completely, utterly terrible cook, who will feed my wife just basic rice and basic pasta because this is all I know how to do. I was able to be a part of this team, of this small cooking team that did an amazing masterpiece of a meal. Even though I had no and very little skill because I understood that I had no authority. I didn't contest. I didn't ask. I just told him. I just did what he told me to do. And I was able to be part of this amazing team that created this amazing meal. Why am I sharing this? You may get the point here. But as we obey God, as we understand that he's not our personal assistant, he's not going to do what we want him to do, which was something that I had not understood at first when I became a Christian. I thought, you know, I have a relationship with the God of the universe. Great. I am great. But the truth is that, yes, we have a relationship with the God of the universe, and we get to submit to him, and we get to obey him, and we get to be a part of his amazing plan that we don't really understand. We have parts and indications of what it is. In fact, he also calls it a feast. We call one of the ways he explains eternal life and one of the ways that he explains what's going to happen when we die, when reunited with him. It's a feast. It's a party. But we just get hints and little parts. We see in part what's actually going to happen when we spend eternity with him, but we don't see in complete vision. So we need to just trust him and understand what our role is, which is he has all authority. We do not have it, but we have a responsibility, and we get to partake of his great and amazing plan. We get to be a sous chef of an amazing banquet that he's preparing. Good. Does that make sense? So a first word that tells us a lot, and that I had not understood when I first became a Christian, that he is not my sous chef. I am his sous chef. He has all authority. I have a responsibility to obey what he's telling me. And this is a great introduction, and that's why Jesus started his last sermon. This is his last words before he ascended into heaven. These are the last few verses of the book of Matthew. And Matthew, by the way, was one of the disciples that spent 3 years with Jesus before Jesus was crucified and then ascended into heaven. So let's move on and see what is the follow-up to this amazing revelation that Jesus has all authority on heaven and on earth. He says the following, and I know you know this, but I'm just going to read it anyways. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We know this verse. This is the great commandment. You have it on your at the entrance of your building. But again, it begs, it begs explaining again from my experience that, although we know this, there we go, that's, I want to go back to 10 years ago, although I knew this and I had been taught this by Pastor Kenny, I was only a part of the church in Brisbane for about 8 or 9 weeks, and in those 9 weeks, I did the whole one-to-one, and I did much of the Purple Book. So I knew I was meant to make disciples. And in fact, it wasn't a burden for me at first when I went to Spain. And yet, it was only a few weeks because I didn't know how to process my emotions and my pain. It only took a few weeks for me to go from a zealous, newly saved Christian preaching right, left, and center to my family and friends and anybody who would listen to me. It only took a few weeks for me to go from that to an angry and embittered little Christian who told God, God, this is too hard. I cannot deal with the rejection from my family. I cannot deal with all the opposition that I'm getting from my friends, and everybody thinks I'm crazy. Everybody thinks that I'm part of a cult. I cannot do this. And the truth is that maybe you're here today and you've been part of Every Nation Tallahassee for a while, but maybe a part of you has also made this kind of decision. Maybe a part of you has thought, you know, I'm going to attend a small group. I'm maybe going to be a part of this ministry or that ministry, or I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But really, I'm just going to let Pastor Ron or Pastor Ken or Pastor Ben or anybody from, you know, the pros. I'm going to let the pros do the work. I'm just going to, you know, because it's so hard. I just don't know how to do it. And when I tried in my office, people just thought I was crazy. And then I lost my friend. And when I tried at home, they started telling me that, you know, I'm just a Jesus freak and I just gotta calm down. And so maybe you're like me and you understood. And maybe a part of you has just decided, you know, I'm just gonna let the pros take care of the disciple making. I'm just gonna be a good Christian. That's the decision that I made 10 years ago. And it's a decision that I had to repent from. And let me tell you, the key to understanding how I can make disciples with joy, the key to changing my mind from this being embittered and being sad and being hurt and being focused on all of these things rather than being focused on Jesus and the joy that he can bring to me is the last part of this verse that we've read, and I'm going to read again. This last part of Matthew 28:19-20 is what changed my soul and what allowed me to understand that, no, I don't have to just settle for being a bench warmer. I think that's how you say in English, a bench warmer. I'm not going to settle for just going to my small group. I'm not going to settle for letting the pastors do the work and I'm just going to be a good Christian and you know, go to church and stuff like that. I'm not going to settle for that, but I'm going to get everything that God has for me, and I'm going to go and make disciples of all nations. If an opportunity opens up in Ukraine to go to war, I'm going to go because I can make disciples there. If an opportunity, which is what we're doing right now with my wife, opens up that we would become church planners in Spain, I'm going to go for it. I'm not going to settle for anything less than God's best for me and for my life. And this is the key. Jesus, he tells all of this. He says, I have all authority. Now go and make disciples. And then he gives an addendum. He gives a little conclusion that actually can change everything that came before, which is this one. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Yeah. And you may think, well, we know this. I'm a Christian. I know this. How does this make any change? Well, let me tell you why this can make a very big change. This is the principal difference between Christianity and every other, not just religion, but every other philosophy and way of life. Every other philosophy, religion, and way of life says you gotta be good enough. If it's a religion, it's you gotta do all these sacrifices and all these way of life and obeying the law to the T so that you can be good enough for God. If it's a non-religion, if it's a philosophy or way of life, there's still a certain way of counting the points of how good you are. And you can see this in the United States. I know there's always a way that you just got to prove to yourself and to the world that you are good enough. But Christianity is just so radically different. If you're here today and you're visiting and maybe you don't know exactly what Christianity is about and you're just reconsidering, let me just explain it to you very clearly, is that Christianity is a, yes, religion, but it's based on the fact that Jesus, God himself, the creator of heaven and earth, came to earth. And he did it not so he could just, you know, cynically like walk around and tell us that we're all doing badly, but he came because he saw that we couldn't help ourselves, that even though we tried with our best, which is what every other religion and way of life tells us to do, even when we try our best, it's still not good enough. And even when we try to be the best husband, we can't be as good as we want to be. And all of these things that we do wrong, and we do wrong every day, they need to be, they have a consequence, and they need to be paid for. When I lie to my parents, or when I lie to my brothers and sisters, I need to apologize. Otherwise, the relationship is broken. Yes? Anybody? Yes. And you don't need to be religious to believe this. If you have hurt somebody at some point, you better go and apologize for what you've done. Otherwise, for obvious reasons, the relationship is going to be broken, and that is what happens between us and God. Every time we hurt somebody, every time we do wrong, every time we lie or we've done something wrong, God is hurt or is grieved by our behavior, and we gotta apologize. But then there's not just apologizing, there's also reparation. It's like, what are you going to do about it? And the fact is, there is no money on earth that can ever pay all the wrong things that we've done wrong. Even if you are a good person, just lying once, yes, is an offense to God. And even if you're a millionaire, the most successful businessman here in Tallahassee, you do not have enough money to give to the church or to God or to anybody to make God actually forgive you. But the good news is that Jesus, knowing this, he came to earth and he, yes, said, there is one way that you can be forgiven. There is one way that you can be forgiven. There is one way that Pedro can be forgiven. And that is that I take the penalty for all of the stuff Pedro has done wrong. I take the penalty for all the things that you have done wrong or you have done wrong. And again, you may think, this sounds like very spiritual, or I don't quite understand. Let me paint it in a very simple way. I have an older brother. He's about 19 months older than me. Most of our childhood, or much of our childhood, he would take the penalty for my sin. He loved me actually that much that every time we did something wrong, or every time he, you know, we would, whatever, break a glass, or whatever it may be that we were doing, and my parents would ask, he was actually so righteous and so good to me that he would actually take the pen. When and to be completely honest, he was usually the instigator, but he actually took responsibility, and he would get the penalty from my parents much more often than I would. Because my brother took the penalty for me, I was able to be forgiven by my parents. And it's that simple. That is what Jesus did for us as well. What Jesus says is, Pedro, Ben, all of you, I love you so much that, yes, you deserve to die for all of your sins. No money can ever pay for your forgiveness. But I decide to take your punishment so that you can be reconciled with God. Yes. And that is what Jesus is saying in this last verse. Can we put it again? He says, I am with you always. It's not just a nice encouragement. It's not just a nice platitude. He's actually restating the very important fact that separates Jesus from every other way of life. He's just restating it to his disciples, saying, because I am with you always. In some English translation, it says, and while in the message it says, and while you make disciples, and while you do that, yes, remember that I'm with you always. Or other translation says, and remember I am with you always. So Jesus really cared, or he really wanted his disciples to understand that this I am with you always is key for us to make disciples. And so if I can go back to 10 years ago when I decided to not make disciples anymore, I decided to just let the pastor do the job, and I would just lay back and stop getting, you know, all the fire from being on the front line trying to share my faith. What I hadn't understood was this very key, that if you are hurting, if you are in pain, if you have been rejected because of sharing of your faith, the answer is not to stop doing it, but the answer is to remember that Jesus is with you. Amen. Always. Have you been rejected? Okay, Jesus can accept you. Jesus was rejected before you so that you can be accepted. Have you been hurt and have you been in pain? Yes, okay, go to Jesus and give him your pain and your hurt. Don't run away from him and decide to just try and do things your own and try to live Christianity on your own, but rather remember that he is with you always. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, you may be thinking, well, how can I apply this? Well, if you're here and you are not a Christian, I want you to, I've just explained, or I've tried to explain to the best of my ability, why the Christian faith is so different from whatever way of life or whatever philosophy you may have. And I'm not here to disrespect your way of life or your way of thinking, but I just want to very openly invite you that if this makes any sense to you, and that's why I even shared the story with my brother, it's not a, of course it is a mystical and a spiritual reality what happened on the cross, and we can talk more and we can try and explain more, and there's many tools and ways that you can understand this reality better. But it is as simple also as my brother taking the penalty from my parents in my place. That is what Jesus did, and that is what you can receive today. Today you can choose to tell Jesus, okay, all of the penalty and all of the things that I've done wrong and that I need to pay for and I need to atone. And maybe you are even coming here to church to atone for your sins. Coming from a Catholic background, this is what many Catholics do. We go to church to feel better about ourselves. But Jesus didn't want us to come to church to feel better about ourselves. He wants us to put our faith in him and to receive his forgiveness to feel better about ourselves. And coming to church is a celebration. It's just a way to improve or to deepen our relationship with Jesus. Yes. It's not a task that you cross. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, I'm going to pray in a moment. And I would like to invite you to pray with me. If this is your heart, if you've understood what Jesus did for you on the cross, I would like to just pray and just receive Jesus today. And it's not, at least in my experience, the heavens didn't open and there was no dove coming from heaven, but there was a change in my heart. And there was a change in my heart. And today, I promise you, if you choose to do this, there can also be a change in your heart. And you can feel the presence of God. And you will be able to feel and receive the forgiveness of Jesus. So I just want to encourage you. And if you have more questions or if you have more doubts, feel free to talk to anybody, to the person who invited you here, to Pastor Ken, to any of the leaders here, or any of your friends that have invited you here today. Now, if you are a Christian, you're part of this church, and you may be thinking, well, I also have decided, or at least maybe I haven't decided openly and as directly as Pedro did 10 years ago. I haven't told Jesus, you know, I don't want to make disciples. But the reality is, in my life, I'm not actually making disciples that much. I want to invite you, if you're here today and you're a Christian, I want to invite you to also just tell God about this. Tell God, you know, I want to make more disciples. I want to not rely on the leaders here and start making disciples. Because let me tell you, there are people in your family, there's people in your offices, in your classrooms, who need to hear what Jesus did for them. This debt of gratitude that I feel towards the Du family and this relationship that we now have that is very unique, you can have that with the people that you're going to share the gospel with. And this is how God builds his church. These relationships become life-giving, and these relationships become the most important thing in your life. And this is how God works. So I want to encourage you, there is so much goodness that comes out of stepping out in faith and making disciples. Just as a illustration of this is these three men that came with me to Ukraine. We didn't just, you know, play hero and go to the war and be cool, but the lives of the four of us, but let me talk about the three men that came with me, was radically transformed. One of them is now in a Creative Access Nation, in a Arabic nation, sharing the gospel and helping people with a Christian charity. Another one, who's an artist, is sharing the gospel as he sells his art to people in Spain. He's the Spanish one. And the other one, who's a chef, he is actually a good chef, not like me. He is sharing the gospel in his kitchen, in his restaurant, and he's actually leading small groups with the people in his small group. So there is so much blessing and so much goodness and so much life in stepping out of faith and making disciples. So if you're here today and you're a Christian, you've decided, or you've de facto, you've just settled into a life of not stepping out of faith, I want to encourage you today with what God has done in my life and what we've learned today from this verse, which was the key for me to understand this. I want to encourage you today to just choose today to make disciples in whatever God has called you, because nobody else will in your office and in your family. God has put you there for that reason. And finally, yeah, I wanna also talk to the superstars here. I wanna talk to, if you're here today and you think, you know, well, I'm making disciples and I'm doing great and I've you know, of course I can improve and I can do more, but you know, overall I'm doing great. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. But, and I also want to encourage you, just because I've been hearing about the 100 students that are going to come back next week, there's a high chance that many of these hundred students, are going to come back hurt. Yes. And they're going to come back in pain because they've gone to their families and maybe now they're on fire for Jesus and they've been called Jesus freaks. And they're going to need support. And not only are they going to need support, but they're going to need empowerment and they're going to need to catch this vision that, yes, you may be hurt. Yes, you may be in pain. Yes, you may have been rejected, but go to Jesus. Yes. Go back to Jesus and remember that he's with you always, and that will empower them to go to the campus, and we can see, we will see Jesus glorified in the campuses of Tallahassee, in the businesses of Tallahassee, and in every other house of Tallahassee. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If I can summarize everything that I've said today, I would like to just put it in this sentence. There we go. It's the bottom line. It's because Jesus is with us always, the second part of the, there we go. Because Jesus is with us always, we can make disciples always.
Good.
Just a small final point about this is, you know, as we're learning how to preach in pastor school, in Bible school, they tell us that the titles has to be very memorable and it has to rhyme and... But I'm not a native English speaker, so I was really working hard on this sentence. And the best rhyme I could have is always and always. So I was thinking his ways and what ways, but the best I got was always and always. So I hope this helps you to remember That it's because Jesus is with us always, because he came down from heaven and he already showed to us that he's not going to give up on us. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to just forget about us, that we can make disciples. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, let me pray. Father God, we just thank you for the promise. We thank you, Jesus, that you came down to earth so that we could be reconciled to you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you are always with us. We thank you that you send your Holy Spirit to remind us that you are always with us, that the Holy Spirit lives in us. And I thank you, God, that it's from that foundation that you never forsake us, that you never leave us, that you will never abandon us, that we can make disciples. When we encounter opposition or rejection or pain or hurt, God, we can always run back to you so that you can heal us, so that you can restore us, so that you can just dust wipe the dust off of us, and you can just send us back into the mission field so that we can make disciples, God. And I thank you for this church, that they're already doing that, God. And I thank you for all of the students and all of the campuses and all of the businesses that are being reached, God. And not only that, but all of the nations such as Spain, God, that are being transformed because of the faithfulness of this church. And I pray, God, that you would bless them, God, as they go out and make disciples of all nations here in Tallahassee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Natalie, would you come up here, darling, with us, please?
Is she awake?
She's right there. Yeah.
Is the baby awake?
Oh. She's asleep. They have a beautiful little baby. Wasn't that a great word, guys? I tell you what. Yeah, go ahead and give God praise. Jesus didn't say anything other than what we heard today. Go and make disciples, and I will be with you always. Teach everything I've taught you, and I will be with you. I want you to know something. You don't have to be a great speaker like Pedro. You don't have to go to a foreign land like Pedro and Natalie. All you have to do is realize there's a mission field right here outside your doorstep. It's your office building, it's your class, at your workplace. There are people who, if they died today, they would go and spend eternity in hell. That should bother you. That should bother me. And so when we understand that it's not the wonderful things that we can be blessed with, and God has blessed us with many wonderful things, what are we doing with the truth? If you knew your words could change someone's eternal destiny, would you speak them? I pray that you would. And that's exactly what this message is. This is a couple. He's an engineer. He could be making hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know what he did? He went it all. He threw it all away and said, God, I want to be a disciple maker. I want to be a pastor. I want to do whatever you want to do. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about fame or fortune. It was about, I want to make disciples. This is the simple message that we stand for, is that we want to empower, equip, and launch people to go and change the world one person at a time, by impacting them with the truth. And when you see something like this, he isn't just preaching. The reason it was so powerful, he's actually a living demonstration of it. And I want you to know something. This is the challenge we have as a local church. It's not just Pastor Ron or Pastor Ben or Ed or Gene, June, all these wonderful men of God. It's what am I doing? What are you doing to advance the kingdom of God? Are you making disciples? Are you a disciple? You can't make something you aren't. So you may need to become a disciple. You may need to know what the Bible says. You may need to start praying. Can I tell you something? Our Bible knowledge far exceeds our biblical obedience. And we need to hear this as the word of the Lord. And I want to pray for Pedro and Natalie. But before I do that, I want Pedro to pray one more prayer. And with our heads up, our eyes open, if you say, Pastor Ken, I've been slacking on making disciples. I've not been a disciple, and I've been slacking on it. I want someone else to do it, and I just want to kind of cruise along in my Christianity. But if this convicted you, I want you to do this. Just raise your hand up high and say, that was me. That was me. It's me. Just raise your hand up. Yeah, good. God bless you. God bless you. Natalie, I want you to pray for us and pray that we would be disciple makers like Pedro preached to us.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving everything for us. Thank you for sending Jesus to this earth to walk among us, to live a holy, sinless life, God, that we could be reconciled to you. He died and he brought all of our sin, all the guilt and shame with him on the cross. He killed it once and for all and rose again, defeating that power. God, we don't have to live under the power and weight of guilt that we're not doing enough, we're not making enough disciples, we're not living the best life, we're not being true to ourselves. No, that we are your sons and daughters and we're redeemed by your grace, God. I pray for everyone here who's felt nudged by the Holy Spirit that, I want to make disciples. I want to obey your commandments, God. I pray right now you would light a fire in their heart, God. I pray they would surrender down all their fears, all their guilt and shame to you on the cross, God, and recommit, Lord. I'm going to speak out. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to come back to Christ, get my power, my strength from the truth that I am secure in you, and then I'm going to go out, I'm going to speak to my family, I'm going to make disciples, I'm going to join that small group. I'm going to commit once again, Lord, to follow you and to spread your grace that you've shown so extravagantly in my life to others. Lord, I pray you would move on the hearts of everyone here who raised their hands, Lord. Pour out your grace, pour out your power on their life, God. Thank you, Lord, that there's no guilt or shame, Lord, just your grace and your forgiveness, God. We come again to you again and again every day. Lord, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give them another great hand. Thank you, Pedro and Natalie. You can have a seat. God bless you. I want you to get to know this couple. If you're here today, we're going to receive an offering in just a moment to bless them. They'll be traveling with their beautiful little baby girl, and they're going to be going back to Spain and starting another church in Madrid. In fact, Pastor Ron, I believe we can have a mission trip over there in the future. That will be a lot of fun to go over there. So we're already planning that. But we want to be more than just someone who gets blessed by a good word from heaven. We want to get behind this man. So we're going to receive a tithe, not tithe and offering, but an offering for our missionaries to Spain. And so we're going to give everyone a chance to give. And if you'd like to give, you can scan the QR code and put on there for special giving. It'll go right. We're going to give all of it to Pedro and Natalie. If you would rather just write a check, you can do so on the and get another envelope. Put that on there and put in the memo for Pedro. We're going to give him every penny of it to go back so they can be successful missionaries to Europe. And so we want to bless this couple. They have laid down their life. They've sacrificed well-paying, successful jobs to do what God's calling them to do. So I want us all to pitch in today and really help this precious couple do what God's called them to do. How many would like to be a part of that? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Pedro and Natalie. Thank you for the work in Spain and all across Europe. And Lord, we just pray a blessing over this giving today. That, Lord, as we give, Lord, we're going to bless this man and bless his wife and cause the gospel to spread beyond the borders of America back to Europe. And so we just thank you for the faith and the boldness and just the courage to do what he has done. And, Lord, we want to get behind that and bless him in Jesus' name. So if you would, just take a moment, and if you would like to write a check or if you have cash, put it in the envelope. And what we can do are in the back, we have a deposit box. Just put it in there. If you'd like to give online, of course, you can do the QR code. There's the details on the overhead. If you would like to talk more to Pedro and Natalie, they're going to be here. If you want to know more about how you can get behind them, if you want to receive their newsletter or support them on a monthly basis, we're going to let you contact them. They're not going to talk to you, but if you would like to know more and say, I'm interested in helping this couple, we want to encourage you to do that. So they're going to be here the next 20, 30 minutes, so please come talk to them, have them pray for you, and if you want to be a part of their team and support them on a monthly basis, that would be tremendous. Amen. All right, let's all stand together. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. Lord, let us remember Matthew 28:18. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And lo, you are with us always. Lord, be with us this day. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for that outstanding word. And Father, we pray your kingdom come, your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you on Wednesday night at prayer if you can make that.